John Carlson right now on Talk Radio 570 KVI.
Back we are. John Carlson, Talk Radio 570 KVI, talking with Mary Taylor. Thinks that you should vote no on the Charter School Initiative, Initiative 1240. Also, Shannon Campion, making the case for charter schools here. We've been juggling coverage between Hurricane Sandy and the presidential race, and we will get back to it, Hurricane Sandy coverage, later on this hour. Right now, at 25 minutes to 9 o'clock, want to return to Mary Taylor and Shannon Campion. Shannon, we left off with you. Mary said that in her opinion, charter schools were a fad, that that in fact they're performing less well than expected, and momentum is not building but actually ebbing.
I respectfully disagree with that. There are 2 million parents with their kids in public schools across the country today. I'm not sure if they would consider their children's school a fad. There's about 600,000 children on a waiting list to get into a public charter school around the country today. And even last year alone, there were 500 new public charter schools that opened up. The bottom line here, John, is that this
How many closed?
I don't know how many closed.
Do you know, Mary, how many charter schools have closed?
I don't know the number of charter schools that have closed.
I'm just wondering, are more opening than closing? I'm guessing the answer there is yes. More charter schools are opening than closing.
I would imagine the states that have the strongest state laws have very strict accountability, just like Initiative 1240, so they shut down their poor-performing charter schools. Nobody wants more, you know, schools that aren't meeting the needs of all of our kids. The point here is more great schools, and that's why the accountability in Initiative 1240 is so strong.
So let me ask you this, Shannon, and then I'm going to go to Mary for a comment. This has been on the ballot, I believe, three times?
Yes.
It has lost three times. Why is the fourth time a charm?
First, there's 20 years of evidence to look at across the country and how public charter schools are performing and what they can do for kids, particularly kids who are not being successful in our traditional public schools today. Second, we had 350,000 voters earlier this year say, give me a chance to vote on this again in November. I'd like to look at this again and vote on it. And that's what voters right now are able to do. And this is in the hands of voters right now, which we are very, very encouraged about. Third, John, we've had 120,000 students drop out of high school since we've last voted on public charter schools. And we know from public charter schools around the country that this is a part of the solution to getting more kids a great education in our state. No one's claiming this is the silver bullet. It's part of a larger strategy to help poor kids and kids of color who are not succeeding in our traditional public schools today. And, you know, the question I think we should be asking ourselves is, why should we not try this? Why should we not bring quality public charter schools to Washington State?
Let's bring that question to Mary. Is it Mary? I believe there's 2,300 schools in Washington State.
Yeah, just about that.
This authorizes 40 charter schools. Why not, as an experiment, just to see how it works? Why not vote yes?
Because it's an expensive distraction. I really believe there are, and I should clarify that there are actually a lot of people who are not opposed to charter schools who are specifically opposed to Initiative 1240 because they don't believe that the initiative is written in such a way that will address the issues of our most at-risk students, which is obviously those 120,000 dropouts that Shannon is talking about, 14,000 a year.
Well, if they're dropping out of the existing public schools, then why not have a safety valve? Wouldn't the charter schools be that safety valve?
Initiative 1240 has absolutely no guarantee of a safety valve in any way. Public school dropout rates are actually decreasing in the last few years while we've had over $3 billion or $2.5 billion in the last 3 years of funding loss in public education, and dropout rates are actually reducing.
You know, why do you think that is happening? And I'll give you my answer, which is going to sound very cynical, but I think is right on. Why do you think the dropout rates are decreasing?
I'll give you my happy Pollyanna answer.
Okay.
And then you can give me your cynical answer.
I love Mary Taylor. Go ahead, Mary.
So actually, in areas that people are really looking specifically at high-risk students, students are at great risk for dropping out, and school districts that have had previously very high dropout rates and very high poverty rates, like Evergreen School District in Southwest Washington, mm-hmm. Bridgeport High School is a great example.
Okay, but again, just why do you think the dropout rate is decreasing when schools, as you say, are getting less of a proportion of funding? Go ahead.
Well, the data supports that.
Right.
I
Why?
Mean, the actual facts are there. But I think that people are figuring out. Everett School District is a really good example, so I'll give you them. Everett School District, when a student drops out of school, they go out and find that student. Their student stalkers go out and find that child and say, hey, you're not in school. Remind them that they're not in school. When they have conversations with these kids, they find out why they dropped out of school and what resources they need to get back. You okay. don't have stable housing? Let's find stable housing. You don't, you know,
so
you
more, more basically, to sum up, more personalized attention.
And they, yeah, and they are okay. going out, and this is, they haven't received any waivers from the
okay.
state
can
board
I,
or anything else. They're just going out on the ground, finding those kids and bringing
I,
them back to
can
school.
Can I give you my answer? Why
you
I
can.
Think the dropout
I'm braced
rate,
for it.
My straight, simple reason why I think the dropout rate is decreasing over the last couple of years. There's no jobs. A lot of students would quit school to go work. There's no jobs for them. They can't quit and get a job anymore if there aren't any jobs in this economy to take.
I would beg to differ.
Better to stay in school.
Most students, though, who are looking at dropping out of school, it's a pretty desperate move. And I don't think that necessarily, if they were really thinking about, you know, what my future might be like, i.e., can I get a job, they would actually be staying in school.
And I don't know, the guys who dropped out when I was there, for them, it was pretty much a, well, I'm not doing too well here. Mm-hmm. I'm not enjoying this very much. I think I'm going to head out and get a job.
Yeah. But I think that that's a little. I think that that's a little less. No disrespect here, but I think it's been a few years since you were in high school.
Five or six.
That's right, and me as well.
Okay.
And the outlook for students, regardless of where you are academically in school, you have some understanding of the fact that the outlook of for somebody dropping out of school is not the same as it was for Bill Gates.
Okay, very good. Let us, who did not go to public school.
Who did not go to public school, yes.
But no, thank you, Mary. Let's go to Shannon Campion from the Yes on 1240 campaign for a response. Go ahead, Shannon.
Thanks, John. I want to address this notion about who Initiative 1240 is focused on helping. This initiative requires that priority be given to schools serving students who are at risk and who are struggling in our traditional schools. The language could not be more specific about that. So I don't know why, honestly, just I don't know why opponents keep bringing that up when it is explicit in the initiative and it is very clear who we are focused on serving through Initiative 1240. Second thing I'd just like to say is the Stanford study has two other key findings. One is that the states with the most comprehensive state laws have the best performing charter schools. That's important for your listeners to know as they're making up their minds on Initiative 1240 because we based Initiative 1240 on those states with the most comprehensive state laws. Second critical finding from that Stanford study is that public charter schools are outperforming traditional public schools in serving urban children who are struggling academically, often kids of color and low-income children. These are the kids who are dropping out of high school in our state and who we need to help.
Okay, but
today.
To both of you, but to both Mary and Shannon, here's another reason why some kids drop out. They're bored. They're bored. They're not challenged. They are, you know, kind of, and I know that with the advent of AP in more and more schools, advanced placement classes, this is not so much the case anymore, but a lot of kids who were not doing well in school were just bored with the curriculum. They were gifted and they were being held back by the tide. Go ahead, quick comment from Shannon and then from you, Mary.
What public charter schools will be able to do there their model allows them to be much more flexible. Teachers and principals have the flexibility to meet the needs of their students and customize a learning experience for their students, which is especially important when you're serving kids who are academically behind. So they can adjust curriculum. They have control over their budget at the school level. They have control over staffing. They can lengthen the school day or the school year. All these things allow them to meet the needs of their students.
Okay. Mary Taylor, isn't that kind of flexibility a good idea?
Well, to say I had actually have one of those kids who was a very capable kid who scraped her way through high school for that very reason, that she was bored.
Gifted but bored. Okay.
But I don't think that flexibility necessarily comes from Initiative 1240. There are lots of things that are happening within public schools right now that are addressing those issues. And if the constraints are such that we can't address the needs of those children in public schools, then why not loosen the constraints on those public schools to allow for that flexibility to engage those students?
I can think of three reasons, W, E, and A. But hold on.
I'll give you some bigger reasons with dollar signs in front of them.
Okay, very good. Let's go to the phones. Linda in Duval, you're on with John Carlson and Shannon Campion and Mary Taylor on the 1240 campaign. Go for it.
Hi, John. I just have a couple of questions. I haven't been able to find anybody to give me answers
to. Here you go, then.
One of the minor questions is, isn't there a difference between private schools and public charter schools? In other words, who's going to pay for the buildings and all the stuff in the buildings?
Okay.
That's the minor question.
Yep.
And then the major question is, who sets the curriculum? I heard that the parents don't have any say, like they used to have in a private charter school. The parents would have a big say in what the curriculum was going to be. With the public ones, I heard there was an organization back east that was going to control all public charter school curriculum.
Okay, let's go to Shannon Campion. You asked two really good questions there, Linda.
Thanks, Linda. First of all, with Initiative 1240, public charter schools can only be operated by approved nonprofits. So they will only be public schools. They cannot be run by a private entity at all. They cannot also not be religious in nature. So
state constitution would forbid that.
That's right. These are strictly public charter schools run only by approved and qualified nonprofits.
Now, but what her point about are the public going to get stuck with a bill for building a new building?
The charter schools have to figure out their facility situation and needs. So it's okay on the public charter schools to figure out where they're going to open up their school. You see a lot of times they work with the school district that they're in, which is certainly an ideal case. Other times they find, you know, buildings that they lease.
All right. Very good. And the second question she asked.
In terms of curriculum, the nonprofit and the board of the charter school the teachers and principals will develop the curriculum. There is no there's no one organization that sets curriculum for all public charter schools.
Mary Taylor, you get the last word.
So these are actually publicly funded but privately operated schools. They're paid for, the answer to your question is, by public funds. But if they come into a school district, for example, and they can access a building in a school district, then the school district still has to pay for that building, and the charter school operates within that school district building rent-free.
Okay. I want to thank both Shannon Campion and Mary Taylor from the Lake Stevens School Board for joining me. You're both really good advocates for your respective positions. Thanks, both of you, for getting here, especially you, Mary, trying to get it in from Lake Stevens at 6 in the morning.
Right, I'll give you that traffic report later.
Thank you, John.
That's right. Thank you both.